In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we listened to a past show with Dr. R. Michael Castle, who passed away last year. He was a practicing industrial polymer chemist with U.S. patents in coatings and adhesives. He was a certified environmental risk auditor and one of the first researchers into the spraying of the atmosphere, aerosol operations, geoengineering, chemtrails, whatever you want to call it. He was researching this back in the late 90s. We listened to a past show from June of 2011, where we also took calls from the listeners. This was when the show was on at Monday, 10 p.m. Let's go to that interview. Dr. Mike Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate you asking me. And hello to the listeners around the New York City area.
Well, your research into the aerosol operations, the weather control technology, the impacts it has on the health of people and the environment are profound. There are so many places to start, but we can start with, why do you think our skies aren't really blue, even on clear days?
Well, it's a very good observation if one can make it. But see, they are using a system of cloaking what was formerly called chemtrails into something that you can't see. And if you haven't seen one jet engine, in fact, spewing a white mist, and the other engine, in fact, spewing some kind of blackness, some kind of, well, it's got a blue tint to it, kind of a really dark, almost an ultramarine blue tint. Okay, that, in fact, when it goes into the atmosphere, disperses in an aerosolized form. This is an aerosolized material. It's been found because of the precipitous levels of manganese that have been found all across the United States just in periods when they, in fact, had these encountered these blue skies, really blue skies, almost like a phthalo blue sky, but it was actually ultramarine blue-violet was the exacting color. And they spray these with with a lot of intensity into the atmosphere, the entire air column above huge entire states and sectors and cities. So when you look up, you in fact are looking through a bunch of these widely dispersed small particulate fragments of aerosolized pigmentation materials based on manganese. And in fact, because of the refractive indices of all this, you in fact can't really tell the difference between what you're looking at and let's just say a couple hundred feet of sky above you. And then above that, there is nothing to give you some type of contrast, so you can't see just, again, you're going to presume that you're looking at clear blue sky. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not clear blue sky. We've got all kinds of observations, in fact, to prove that, like when after the sun goes down. You'll notice that there's a curtaining effect that extends all the way from the west to the north. And you look on the horizon, and you've got this darkness above that horizon area, dark, like it should be, but then you get this real light stuff coming, and it stops at the north. Okay, that is called a curtaining effect. That is the particulate falling through the atmosphere and, in fact, refracting light. But see, it causes what they call a Tyndall effect when it gets up to the horizon at the north azimuth.
Spell that word, Tyndall?
T-Y-N-D-A-L-L.
Okay. Many people understand that aluminum oxide and barium are also some of the ingredients in these aerosols that are being deployed across really the world. But you're saying manganese.
Manganese with arsenic. Some of the identified materials, in fact, are benzoated materials with benzene. But then they also have these other properties that, in fact, would say that they're coupled with arsenides, arsenic-based materials. We found there being a direct connection with that in lead, with that and strontium, by all means, strontium and cadmium. So you got all these other groups of heavy metals that, in fact, are known carcinogen. They're not suspect. They're known carcinogens. Okay, you're now inhaling those in an aerosolized form. But what I want to go back to is the lethality, if you will, on a long-term basis of the exposure to manganese. Manganese, if it's not properly balanced in the human body during ingestion or however you choose to get it into your body, it is absolutely necessary for biometabolism. If the copper is shortened, the manganese will cause proteins to do something called misfold. Now, Dr. Ilya Perlingeri, she wrote an article about this been a couple of months ago, and it's on Rens.com. But it's about this very phenomena, if you would like, if I can use that word, this attack. This misfolding of protein causes all sorts of aberrations in the human body as well as animals. That misfolded protein, in fact, goes back to Dr. Perday over in the UK, and Dr. Ilya Perlingeri cites this gentleman, and I knew him on the Internet before he was virtually murdered in the UK for bringing this out. He wrote something called barium intoxication. All that is, in fact, enclosed in that. But he'd done a study on cow wasting disease, and it's this very phenomena that I'm speaking of, misfolding of protein, which is the systemic root of cow's wasting disease, elk wasting disease, potentially Alzheimer, Parkinson's disease, and all these other types of syndromes. This is the root cause of it based on the information that we've collected from all over the world. We're not in the business, in fact, of really caring. We don't care what causes this. We just want it to stop. That's the whole point.
That's fascinating. Do you have any possible remedies? Because I remember your friend, Dr. Gwen Scott, who's on the station a lot, she has mentioned that one really quick remedy is organic purple grape juice to flush heavy metals out of the body.
That's true. It has other materials in the organic grape juice that, in fact, are very, very, including ormus, by the way, which is one of the highest percentages you can find, let's just say a gold, that is, in fact, in a orbitally rearranged monatomic form. It's still gold, but it's just not gold like you know it on your finger or something. That is very strong, that particular property coming from organic grape juice, plus all the benefits it has with the enzymes and the antibacterial and so on and so forth. But what it's doing, it's helping your intestines rid itself of some of this GMO, which contains an agrobacterium developed by Monsanto that, in fact, is from a genase, an excretia of E. coli. E. coli. That's how they get this bacterium. And in fact, it's mutated with some other type of rhizomic protease, and we believe that could come from insects. It's in fact, with the gene gun, it's stamped into a seed, and you plant that seed, and hey, we got cold corn, but I can tell you, the GMO residue, in fact, is going to excrete glyphosate into your intestines for the rest of your known life. And unless you, in fact, shut it down, you reverse this by ingesting things such as Gwen Scott has said many, many times, organic grape juice.
Purple
grape juice. I'm telling you, folks, there's something in that purple that we just don't understand, but it's the highest order, or ultramarine violet blue. It's of the highest order of magnitude in color, intensity, and properties. But then again, you can take clay. Any type of bentonite clay, calcium bentonite clay, food grades, the ones that Gwen talks about repeatedly, that's flushing those toxins out of your body and your intestines. See, that's secreting this glyphosate into your intestines and the rest of your body. It does that by killing your natural folia that's in your intestines that you've had there ever since you've been a baby. And it kills that off and, in fact, brings on this rogue bacterial form. So, quite frankly, you're not really digesting food anymore. It's doing more of a fermentation than it is a digestion. And therein lies all the maladies and the infirmaries connected directly to anything that is genetically mutated.
Right. A lot of that information has just recently come out in the media. And, of course, Mike, you're right on it. Going back to where we sort of ended on this, and that is you just want these aerosol operations to end. Tell listeners briefly how you got involved in and what was your epiphany that this was going on around you.
Okay, well, I was this was back in 1997, 98. I'm a private pilot, instrument rated, and I noticed my VFR days fell down by 10 miles. I couldn't see 20 miles anymore. I couldn't see hardly anything at 5,000 feet. Something really wrong here. And then we had all these strange, aberrant flight approach paths, checkerboards, squares, and I'm thinking, that's not 60,000 feet. That's not in the military. That's in the normal aircraft zone, 30 to 40,000 MSL. You know, none of them fit any pathway, any Victor Airway, anything that a tracking flight controller could in fact keep track of. These things are crazy. So in the year 2000, I finally done some of my own research. Computers were just dawning in on me at the time, in the late 90s. But started looking, and I found out that, hey, and there's these great big huge holes in the ozone layer, and this was one from their TOM satellite interferometry. And I started looking at it, and I'm finding out there's these great big huge holes which seems to appear over Gatkana, Alaska. Why? Hey, what is this? Well, anyways, kept studying it, and I found out that there would also appear, after it would go east, these massive, huge pillars of magenta, like great big square patches, over top the hole that once was there. So they were patching holes in the ozone layer with something that caused ozone. You can, in fact, create ozone at any altitude, even including ground level, just by getting selenium in contact, just selenium oxide in contact with a hydrocarbon. It will, in fact, and then ultraviolet and sunlight will create ozone or to any hydrocarbon material. You can create ozone. There's no problem in that. But they're putting this into the high atmosphere above the troposphere trying to create ozone because they're patching it because they're obviously knocking holes in it. I had seen that. That landed me on Art Bell's show in January of 2000. I was supposed to have been on there for 1 hour. I was on there for 4 hours. And that launched my career into this abyss of what's a chemtrail? What are chemtrails? I heard Will Thomas talk about it. Well, anyways, in 2002, I wrote a paper, and I introduced it to the Internet in 2003. The paper, which was my first, I think it was the first expose, was called The Methodic Demise of Natural Earth. If you've never read it, you should. This was just my take, and I'm just surprised myself of how accurate many of these things have been through the years. As Dr. Bill Deagle said, he said, most prophetic thing I've ever read.
Methodic demise of natural...
The methodic demise of natural earth.
Of natural earth. When did you write this?
2002.
Here we are, 2011, in the middle of the year.
And well, I told you, I've been at this a long time.
Looking back, how far has the natural earth been demised?
By at least 60%. Because now they've, in fact, unveiled their weapons that are designed to destroy the rest of the natural earth, and they'll use anything they can get their claws on, such as deuterium fluoride lasers, and they'll punch a hole in a rig, an oil rig setting in the Gulf of Mexico. And they'll say, oh, we had an accident. Oh, and all these people, all these guys in Wall Street make all this money from shortfall, short betting. It's the same thing. So in 2003, I also wrote another paper, Jeff. It was called the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act. I wrote that in 2003. I sent a copy to, the head of the EPA. I was told in so many words, in fact, to back off by deep throat from Ann Arbor, Michigan, told me to never bring it up again, and in fact, Whitman, in fact, has nothing to do or say anything, and then she resigned 6 months after that. The point is, this document is, in fact, that I know of, and my background is in environmental, consulting, engineering, remediation, testing, assessment. I've certified environmental risk auditor with a national credential, been doing this a very long time. Everything that I see deployed here is lethal as well as toxic, let alone it being carcinogenic. It defies all principles of sanity, but they unleash these weapons on a routine basis. The Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act takes all of that down. It takes it all down, and if somebody would want to just look at that, it's written in plain, understandable English. And it is, in fact, from We the People. I'm borrowing something that I like a whole lot. We the people.
the synergistic effect of these chemicals in the atmosphere with the recent addition of radiation from Fukushima, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if you can imagine radioactive barium, radioactive aluminum, all the nucleotides, all the radioactive strontium, radioactive cadmium. And then you get into the bio side of it, but really these aren't really life forms. They're pseudo-life forms. They're based on silicas. Those are also in the air and in us and in everything else right now. And they've deployed these. I've read the MIT patents, which invented these. So anyways, no, there's nothing new and nothing surprises me, Jeff. But having radioactive, those things, you just open up an entire new dimension of horrors. We have no clue what that might be.
A past guest that we've had on, Dane Wigington, had talked about how the particulate matter, ultrafine, falling down, we're breathing it in up to 10 nanometers in size, passes right through the lung lining into the bloodstream, and he says where they clog receptors like plaque.
Years ago, 2001, I came across some type of some people that had some very good magnification of this powder that we got off that they got off their windshields, and they wanted me to take a look at it. So I did. Very, very sharp. They look like little shards of broken glass, which almost look like little tiny, tiny arrowheads, and very, very opaque, meaning they were not like glass shards, but matter of fact, they were more like, and this was aluminum oxide and as well as barium. But those materials have been analyzed out, and but they were sharp. That's by design. These, whomever you would like to call them, what they've invented, and it was some PhD academia a long time ago who invented this, these little aerosolized shards of chemicals, in fact, do pass through the lung tissue and right through the alveoli, and in fact, it will pierce that particular part of the lung. Not only are you breathing something that goes directly into your bloodstream, you and now are going to get a whole lot less oxygen because you pierced that particular part of the lung. So your oxygen levels continues to go down and down and down. But I'm not doing anything bad. You know, hey, I don't have any of the sins. It doesn't make any difference. All you're doing is breathing.
When you look,
I think that's what Dane may have been talking about.
Yeah, well, he's very upset.
That is a really accurate way of describing Dane and a million other people out here across this great world. We're not going to say we're sick of it. We're not going to say we've had it. Of course, we just want them to stop. But we never can get any muster because there's like, well, we got to wake up these people first. We got to wake up the people that, in fact, are responsible for doing it. Those are the minions. Those are the operations people. Those are the ones that flies the aircraft for Omega. Those are the ones that, in fact, do things that they do by mechanical, by like a robotized thing. This is their job. They get paid. And if they dare say anything, they lose their job, and they'll be out with their family with no job. Okay, so it's extortion at the highest level as you can imagine. And they're all participating. But they're all still breathing this because they were told that they got some kind of exemption. They're taking something special, possibly.
We got a
different bank account for you there, Mr. Manager, in this big environmental company. Or possibly you're with Sierra Club or possibly with one of the Gore followers.
See, that's an interesting realm.
It's another club. It's another club. Layered club, believe me.
Where are these, quote, environmental organizations that are supposedly...
Will not say a word about it. Not a word. Just like all U.S. congressmen and senators, they will not peep a word because they are all mere corporate agents. Do you hear me? That's all they are. Are there any exceptions? I'm not certain. They also, in fact, have been given access and letters and so on and so forth, the promissory that, hey, you know, you got this underground thing that's going to be taken off here. If somebody, in fact, rings the bell, you and your family can head to that particular port area, and, in fact, you will be zipped to Colorado to the underground city or down to New Mexico to the underground city or to Alta to the underground city or even over down in Australia. Yeah, they've got these underground cities everywhere. That's where the snakes and the reps are going to flee to.
You mean the hybrids? Okay.
That's what I keep saying. Pick a name. I don't care what you call them. It's just they. But this can diminish. Is it going to be done by record, by mandate, or a legal lawyer? No. None of that's going to make a difference. In fact, when you sign the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act as your self-petition and proclamation to halt spraying anything into our breathable air column across this planet, what's wrong with that?
Isn't that incredible?
That's just incredible. They can do anything they want. They can't spray anything into the atmosphere, into the breathable air column. If, in fact, we agree this is our law. Why? It not only affects humans, but every other living thing on the planet.
And our drinking water here in New York City, one city councilman proposed to remove fluoride from the drinking water. The evidence is overwhelming. It's an industrial waste from the fertilizer and aluminum manufacturers. Yet, still, other committees are stonewalling, and you have newspapers in this area saying, well, you guys need to grow up, it's good for your teeth, you know, stop being conspiratorial, etc. Meanwhile, these trucks come up from Florida filled with fluoride, liquid fluoride in their tanks, and it continues.
Years ago, I said, just disband the Environmental Protection Agency, federal, regional, and state, and whatever you call it in your state, get rid of them, because, in fact, their principal charter was, in fact, to protect us from this. But what do? They endorse it and take jobs with the people that, in fact, that promote and make hexafluorosilic acid, stannous fluoride, and it goes all, it's ingrained. They're putting this stuff in food.
Yes, they're
so
putting
it. If you get it out of the water, it doesn't make a difference. Watch what you eat. They put this in your food.
They put it in the
food. And they want to put lithium in there, lithium carbonate. That's the ultimate of power drugs to take if you, in fact, are seriously, extremely bipolar and epileptic. They give you, in fact, lithium carbonate pharmaceutical drugs. They're poison. They've sprayed these in the atmosphere because they have a very distinct pinkish color, and those were seen all over Atlanta, Georgia, and North Georgia, all the way up through Tennessee, all the way down through a swath through Alabama, as if those people needed anyways. But these pink plumes everywhere. What are these pink stuff? Okay, it's lithium carbonate, people. Yeah, they're putting it in the air because they want you to calm down. I even read patents where they put melon in the air. I got those from the U.S. Air Force Base over in Wright-Patterson trying to appeal to the people that worked at the National Atmospheric Testing Lab within the confines of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And that was Clifford Carnicom and I done a videotape. There was a tape of his talk, and I was talking. This was in 2001. We were, in fact, holding the very first anti-chemtrail protest rally at the gate of the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Dayton, Ohio. Why? That is a hub, let me tell you, a big hub.
Yes, it is.
There's also a city underneath there. It's just, I grew up around the Dayton area because all through my life I've heard about Zoc. If you care, I'll tell you that story sometime. But when you always know, every time I went around the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the only thing I had in my mind was, God, they call this Ground Zero. And I would hurry along.
Ground Zero is a reference to where an atomic bomb blast is.
Exactly. So anyways, I didn't spend a lot of time around that, even though one time. But anyways, we made a masterful protest. Clifford did, and as well as I and a number of other people. And we were there with people like Kim Dolly or Kim Weber, as she was known back then, and Lori Kramer and some of these pioneers. Yeah, we've all been there all these years, and we've never changed our tune. We've not been bought off. We've got Cindy Palookas out there. We've got Bonnie Hoag, whatever her last name is pronounced.
Hoag.
Bonnie Fire New York. And we've got all these people.
Yep.
Hey, wonderful. They are just as angry and pissed as we are and yelling the same thing.
Yep.
Stop this. Well, we're going to have geoengineering. No, you're not.
the Gates Foundation funding the quote research on the aerosolized aluminum deployment and the massive amounts of aluminum that they want to spray on people. It's already happening in real time.
A class of non-live mosquitoes that in fact will inject you with a vaccine.
Oh, really?
Gates funded that. Yes, sir. Look and see who these people really are, and I don't think that you will agree that they cannot be human, not all of them. They can't be all human because humans wouldn't think like this. Only someone who, in fact, believes in to themselves that they, in fact, are some type of elitist. They're not. They may morph. They may shapeshift all the time when they get angst, when they get, and there's a lot of them, too, since we were talking about this topic earlier before the program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this happens all the time. Okay, this is who they are, but they're still just minions. Then you graduate, get kicked upstairs, and you get this piece of whatever you would like to call it in the White House. I refuse to use that individual's name. Whatever he is, a clone, a being, or some whatever, I refuse. I'm not going to listen to what he's got to say and look. Never look at his image. I cancel him out. That goes so far beyond being disrespectful, I can't tell you how far that goes beyond that, but I just cancel them out. There are so many like that because their voice is mesmeric. This is about mesmeric wave, which is coming out of those ground Gwen towers that are around us right now, everywhere you're at. You've got the same mesmeric wave, and yes, the chemtrails enhance that particular circuitry. It's a plasma field, as Clifford Carnicom, in fact, had observed and talked about quite many years ago. We're living in a plasma field created by all these chemicals. And no, it's not for RFMP. It's not for some type of Navy air farce, whatever, operation, because I really don't care. But it is, in fact, designed to do one thing, and that is to drain the very life out of you.
Well, it seems to be working because if people really were aware on these levels as to what's going on around them, do you think they'd be shopping and going about their business as usual?
Yes.
They're up against all this chemical in their food, air, water, and then in the air that are influencing and affecting the frequency of the brain and brain waves.
You got a layer there that's impeding that thought of me saying yes or no, and that's. I know you've never had anybody to tell you this, but let me be the first, because Gwen knew this many years ago, because I've always said this. The outside of the matrix is, in fact, ensconced with a film of adhesive called denial. And once you get stuck on that denial, it's a super adhesive. I tell you, you can't get away from it, because you will deny. You will deny. You got all the facts right in front of you. It doesn't make any difference. That's just conspiracy stuff. And you will continue to deny and deny and deny. And the last breath you take, you will be in denial. Okay, so be it. I know that there's billions that are stuck to denial, and the rest of them are in the matrix. So don't go close to the matrix. Stay off, away from the TV, HD wave. What do you think HD wave really, really is? I talked about this mesmeric wave that all goes through HARPS, that all goes through the Gwen Towers. That's part of their system. As Dr. Ott had reported just Friday when I was on a show, all of that's controlled by Mount Weather in Virginia. It's such a big story to, you know, what about the Congress?
Yeah.
Well, they don't know about this. And I said, I don't buy that. I don't buy any of that. I've been on the field. I've been front and center trying to get any elected official. I even hate using that word anymore. They're mere corporate agents. Even Ron Paul knew every time I got something for Campaign for Liberty or from Ron Paul or his son, Rand Paul, Senator, or even his wife, Carol Paul, I asked the same question. Talk to me, answer my questions about chemtrails. And then I'll put the word chemtrails three more times.
Mm-hmm.
Chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
Chemtrails. Chemtrails, not one. Not even Ron Paul will answer me about this one topic. And my question is, who the hell are you?
Right. Yes. He is the paid underdog.
Irrespective. It's self-evident that there's a really big problem here. He was talking about fluoride. Fluoride, in my opinion, is one of the designed reagents that's designed to do one thing. And in fact, when you ingest it or take a bath in it, it absorbs into the bloodstream and it gets to your brain, it's going to flock out. It's going to flock. And when it does, it causes a plaque. And that plaque actually will, it's called the conglial cells in the top of your brain. It will plaque the conglial cells and the process, what resultant is called fluorosis. It's like cirrhosis, but it's with fluoride. It, in fact, will plaque up everything, and that is by design. So whenever someone, in fact, is taking a, well, we got to have fluoride, you know, just say, do you want me to throw up right here in your face there, Dennis? I'll throw up right in your face because it's such a bald-faced lie. And because you're involved in it in the American Dental Association, you don't want to look at this because this is one of your principal little tools that you use to make money. And you are participating and conciliatory in an entire lethality. It's called neurons. It's called brain cells. And you participate in that. Outside the outright toxicity of it. They don't care because they've got a job to do, looking down in somebody's mouth and taking tools and putting stuff in there and doing this. And I guess we have to have that. But then again, I've got my own designs on how you can, in fact, make a whole lot better dentist for yourself by just what you brush your teeth with and clean your mouth with. I'm not kidding you. I haven't used toothpaste for years and years because it had fluoride in it.
Yeah,
I know. I haven't drank tap water since 1995.
Wow.
I drank steam distilled water. Well, okay, good for me. But I can tell you, just upon a measure of reality and just recognizing things, it's like everybody else has got this fluorosis. But you can reverse it. Yes, you can. Coconut oil.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Ask Dr. Gwen Scott the next time about eating coconut oil. Along with it, what does it do? It's of lipid, and in fact, as it goes in the bloodstream, it can in fact pull, because of the coconut oil, it will pull this. It will weaken the fluoride plaque, the fluorosis. It weakens it and pulls it away. There's been people that have called into Joyce Riley's show on the Power Hour, and they said, actually, I had Alzheimer's, and I've had Parkinson's and no symptoms, no palsy, nothing. They had diabetes. No, they don't anymore. Yeah, actually, reverses the damage that is done to the pancreas. And I got to be very careful not to utter those other two words that the FDA believes they own, heal and cure.
Okay.
This has got nothing to do with either one of them. Cure is something that you, in fact, will do to rubber, but it's also called vulcanization, but we always call it curing rubber. That's how I understand cure. This has got nothing to do with any of that, nor healing. Healing's got to do with something that is problematic as a wound or something like that, or possibly it's something in the body that just doesn't work right. There's a malady, it's an infirmary, whatever, and then you're giving pharmaceutical drugs, in fact, to like treat that, but not healing. But they just don't want you using that word. That's okay. By the way, did you know most of the bases of the pharmaceutical drugs are based on two types of fluoride? Now, I've done a lot of work with this thing that I told you about earlier called magnetricity, and you can repulse a lot of the chemtrails. You can keep them away from you. You can reverse some of the damage that's been done to your own body and to the plants and to the trees and the animals that are around you just with very, very simple things. And I find that the crowning achievement of knowledge is what magnetite, black sands, will do.
Really?
The emanating aura of natural radiant magnetic energy. I've just uncovered a few ways. Actually, other men had invented them, these ways, but I just, in fact, have found a way to turn this natural magnetic aura into vortices, into right spinning vortices. And therein lies a completely different energy that we can use. And I have, many have. It does work. It neutralizes bad weather coming at you. It changes everything, but it's just natural magnetic energy. Orgone and natural magnetic energy are the same thing. Orgone and or natural magnetic energy are the flexing materials for super light. The flexing materials for super light on at least this planet. And it's also known on other planets as gravity. It's the highest you can get is energy form. Then it was the primal energy form upon this planet back before Precambrian. This was the primal energy that was on this planet, was the natural magnetic field. And all the magnetite does has captured this is there was a little bacterium back then that was eat rocks and ore and stuff like that, and it would excrete this crystallite. The genase was this crystal material called magnetite, actually Fe304 technically. And during that time when it was created by these little bacterium, it took on the magnetic field of the Earth at that time. And it still is there in strength and amplitude that it was back during that time, which was much stronger than now because we're in a magnetic field now. That's where the reps, in fact, cut us off because natural magnetic energy, in fact, is everywhere. But they've done everything they can to cut and slice and punch holes in that. And so we are actually in a waveform, a linear waveform, by the way, of synthetic energy completely, electromagnetic. You notice when you say magnetism, somebody will jump in and say, you mean electromagnetism. No. Natural magnetic energy has been completely obfuscated. It's just that through magnetite, it's powerful enough that you can focus into a crystal, which has got a Mobius coil wrapped or a helical coil, doesn't make any difference. And in fact, as it goes through this crystal, that's the focus of this emanating energy from magnetite with all that surface area. It in fact is focused into the crystal and it's spun to the right. It actually takes, just like it will light, it will spin it into a vortex.
Well, Dr. Mike Castle, thank you very much for being on In Other News, and we're going to open the lines right now and take some calls. Are you ready to take calls?
Certainly.
Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Mike Castle.
Yes, hi, Jeff. Brandon here. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Brandon.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I've studied some of these matters, but from a, say, Earth-based perspective as a geophysicist, and I wonder, Mike, if we first get terms right. I think they're called nuclides rather than nucleotides. But with regard to the shards, have we looked into pyroclastics, things that might be ejecta from volcanoes, or incoming fragments from meteoroids?
Well, I guess that could, in fact, be a fair interpretation of the potential for that to be. But then again, you don't find those ribbons normally falling across the entire Midwest section of the United States all at once. Brandon, I read the patents for all these things. Aerosolized heavy metal particulates and other forms of siliceous compounds, refractory agents, thorium compounds, but they're all, in fact, like malleable and broken into aerosolized pieces. I mean, we're talking about refractory agents being dispensed in the aerosol form in the upper atmosphere. And in
now,
fact,
are aerosols like that, Mike, possible by volatilization? For instance, the Earth's
from
crust.
Where?
The Earth's
from where?
Crust. Okay, the Earth's crust is made up of oxygen, OCA, fat cat, oxygen, silicon, aluminum, iron. So if we just look at those are the elements that we're complaining of, aluminum oxide.
Yeah.
So
and Brandon, just to tell you, I've read the patents for that particular type of what's called Welsbach seeding. There's a whole history behind all this. So looking for a baseline substantive view of how those could possibly occur, I'm not interested in doing that, sir.
Mike, we'll go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. My dad's a doctor. I get still Latin term, cui bono, who benefits by all this horrendous stuff going on?
Whomever they are.
Do we set up a giant guillotine on Wall Street and do what the French did a couple hundred years ago? Because it's getting to the point of absurdity.
Well, I know, but why don't we just kind of like round them all up, put them on a spaceship and ship them to Mars and pack on there just enough food to last 90 days, and it's all GMO. How's that?
Who would be the first five you put on the ship, Doctor? Other than Dick Cheney and
well,
maybe, you know.
I know. But listen, let me make another public protestation over a being. I'm certain he's not all human, but his name is Zbigniew Brzezinski. Mm-hmm. Believe me, he is a grand demon. He's a grand demon along with Kissinger. That would be the first two on board.
First two. Caller, do you have another suggestion, maybe the third person?
Oh, there's so many of them. But Governor Christie here in New Jersey. But anyway, my question is, like, why the heck would they destroy their very place where their children and grandchildren will live? Are they protected somehow? I mean,
don't know. I have no idea. I mean, no, you can't justify this from whomever they are from the standpoint of what their operations, how they do things, what they're paid to do, and just do that. They're minions, but they're children. I appealed to these people when I was in front of the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in 2001 with Clifford Carnicom, and we'd done the first chemtrails protest rally in front of Gate 12A, right at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Dayton, Ohio. And I appealed to those people that worked inside the National Atmospheric Lab there at Wright-Patterson, because at that time, that was also called the Tesla Center. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's
where they
operations, in fact, for the entire weather manipulation that they were doing at that time. And believe me, it's graduated big time from there.
Wow. Well, thank you for always an interesting program, Professor. Continue to do what you're doing, I hope. Maybe some public interest will start fighting back these bums, but I think the guillotine is time. Sorry.
Okay. I'll take you up your suggestion on that.
Thank you.
I got some French in myself.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, caller. And by the way, Dr. Mike Castle's website is anticorruptionsocietyalloneword.com. And we'll get to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I just wondered, I do believe see these chemtrails all the time, and when you refer to they, do you know who they are? And also, what location do the planes emanate from? At one time, I thought they were just getting rid of waste from, you know, the nuclear industry or whatever, dumping it out and trying to get, but now I'm seeing, kind of understanding it's more than that. It's weather manipulation, but that's what I thought it was. But if you could tell me the they, that'd be great, and where these planes come from. Thanks so much.
That's a grand question, because they're coming from virtually everywhere, and they, in fact, include a amalgamation of corporate aircraft, U.S. Air Force aircraft, current era. I refuse to call them a force. They're a joke. But the Air Force is, in fact, in cahoots with just so many federally approved contractors and global contractors and environmental contractors and partridges in pear trees. It's amazing how this whole thing, in fact, is stacked up. But they come from everywhere, and they, in fact, are just whom I said. No elected person, in fact, will respond to any of our direct questions about chemtrails, whether it's on a letter, whether it's in an email, whether it's in a phone call. They refuse to address this. That's called linguistics. They kind of invented that. That word, chemtrails, puts them into some type of buzz, some type of daze or something, and they cannot respond because they know the answers. But when you find out about all this other stuff that's associated with this, with the chemtrails, then you'll understand. All this is about mind control.
And, Mike, we've had some breakthroughs as far as locating certain areas. The Magoo Air Force Base or Naval Base,
yes.
With Omega Aviation, and so and Evergreen Aviation, another company that's involved. We suspect that they're involved, and the Global Air Tanker Service, and we found out that Omega Aviation is one of the largest global traders of the Boeing 707 shells that they use. And then recently, OlgaCom.
Mm-hmm.
OlgaCom, right. Your friend who had done that research.
Obeka. Right.
Yes. Okay, we'll go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Fine.
Oh, okay. Great show. Well, there's a line from the movie Razor's Edge with Bill Murray. He won't be missed. And that's, to me, that's Kissinger. I can't wait for that. All right, that's my opinion. All right. these people are really psychotic who propagate this stuff. How do they think they're going to protect themselves from this? Because I know you touched on it a little while ago. You have any information? I know you mentioned the grape juice and all of that. And I guess if you can't have sugar, would it be if you get grape skin extract? Would that be the same? Or
just lysine, glycine are two things that you do need amongst all these other things. But mineralization, any form of mineralization, and also certain types of soft carbon, such as from charcoal, grow your plants and your foods in that. In fact, take away some of this radiation we've got and ingest the mineral nutrients themselves, because that will do a lot in fact, trying to detoxify, actually through a very simple process, not a reaction, but it's a complexing process that the body does, so they can be safely taken out of the body and through the normal waste streams. But then again, it doesn't impact your kidneys and your liver and so on and so forth. But all these things are after your organs. haven't read that much yet, this is what this is, complete shutdown of the human body, one organ at a time.
Well, I have to commend you. God bless you, because you're not only just making the news and bringing it out, you bring solutions, and I try to focus on that and being kind to one another and solutions, and I think that's where we need to go.
Right.
Mike Castle, you mentioned that for GMO foods and glyphosate that cayenne pepper would work, right?
Cayenne pepper works based on the things that we've gotten. A lot of this stuff came out of the UK. There's people just like us everywhere. They're bright. They're human, made in his image kind. Their brains are still intact, and that's the measure we've got to use right now. You know, are you brain dead yet? But it's one of these things. They've talked about the use of capsaicin, which is let's just call it the active in this natural material called cayenne pepper, or capsicum, capsicum fruit. Well, anyways, what it's doing in the intestine, now I'm a polymer chemist, you understand? But what it's doing, it's the only thing that, because of the agrobacterium that is based somewhat on a mutated coliform, E. coli bacterium, whatever they got in there, and it's just grisly enough as it is. But anyway, it's the only type thing that we know of right now for certain that will, in fact, become lethal to that agrobacterium. That's what is responsible for the continuous excretion or secretion of glyphosate made from this thing that's in your bowels that you got from eating genetically mutated organisms.
Well, let me say one more thing. I'm a chef getting into that, and I'm going to work in that area and try
there
to
you go.
Bring people knowledge about
Kick it
this.
Up a notch.
All right. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Thank you. Good night.
And what we've seen is E. coli is being used as a vehicle. But okay, so we're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, it is.
Hi, hello. I'm enjoying the show. I tuned in a little late, but I can tell you I'm enjoying it very much. And I've been watching it, and to my response to that woman who said, when does this happen, I've watched Sunday morning seems to be chemtrail day. As far as Capiscum, now I know why I love Tabasco sauce so much.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes, thank you so much for your work.
You're certainly welcome.
But do look at Sunday mornings. I'm 7 miles outside of Manhattan in Jersey, just behind Giant Stadium, and I've taken pictures of this, and I see this. It's like, why is this Sunday mornings? There's chemtrails all right. over the place.
I can answer your question. See, they rip the skies up. They rip the skies up with all of these plumes of various and sundry types of chemicals, bioagents, insecticides, I mean, snow, everything but insects and pestilence. But I think they put insects in some of these things, too, insect parts. But anyways, the reason that they're doing this, like on a Sunday, is because, see, Noah is figuratively the kingpin in our weather manipulation. There is no such thing as natural weather anymore, ladies and gentlemen. That used to be based on something called the Coriolis forces. Now, right. The Coriolis forces are based on sunshine and weather patterns and the dew point changes and natural types of evaporative cycles and the rivers of water. Now they're controlling the rivers of water.
Coriolis forces, one hemisphere they swerve one way and the other hemisphere they swerve the other way.
That's correct, yeah. And then again, that's a natural Earth occurrence, and it also has a lot to do with natural magnetism, by the way. But anyways, what they're doing with these, every 2 weeks, NOAA sends in their forecast. Now listen to me, it's their forecast for what your weather is going to be. It goes now to Belgium to the Cray computer that they've had there ever since 1997, and what it does, it takes all these orders for event contracts. Event contracts, in fact, are people that are literally betting down on things that will happen, and floods and insurance and all these commodities and all these emergency needs and everything. They're all being bet on. So these emergency contracts are the emergency, event contracts are given. So the weather, in fact, is put in. That computer takes and hooks it up and interfaces at the interlink with artificial intelligence. It orders all the aircraft to go. It orders all the fuel. It orders all the chemicals. It orders everything. It files the flight plans for sometimes even pilotless aircraft flying these not missions. They're flying across the sky just dumping God knows what into your above your head. I can assure you it's not the things that we just identified thus far in something called chemtrails. That woman there earlier, in fact, mentioned about waste. She's absolutely correct.
Nuclear waste.
Nuclear waste has been ground up into an aerosolized form and put into the atmosphere. As I told the gentleman, Brandon, earlier, thorium, that was a Hughes aircraft patent, 1990-something, and in fact, it's called Welsbach seeding practices, and that's also, I identify that in the first anti-chemtrails report that I, in fact, developed in 2002. I called it the methodic demise of natural Earth. Anybody can go and look on the Internet and find that, and you'll see in there where I give you the patent number. But that's thorium. Thorium only exists as with an impurity of 2% of a radioisotope and radioactive components. But anyways, that's been sprayed in our atmosphere now for at least 20 years.
Well, so this would suggest an international conspiracy.
Absolutely.
It's more than international.
Oh,
that's
I know.
What we was talking about Olga.com here a minute ago, because some lady over in Norway, in fact, was able to piece this all together and got information out of her. And we're passing this around everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Here's the whole bunch.
Okay, we're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you, Carnegie Mellon, the president went there and said there's going to be all this robotic stuff manufactured in the U.S. Who is this guy goes to this Carnegie Mellon and talks about robotic, we're going to be the greatest leaders as we've always been? That's one crazy thing. And the other question I was going to ask is, the chemicals that they are playing games with, we're not allowed to study that in schools. I'm always watching the science. That's what I have on now. I'm watching outer space and all the things that are involved in the rocks and the deep black holes. But what I want to know is, why can't we, as you, Dr. Michael, you know a lot about the chemistry of not just nuclear, but our biology kind of elements in our bodies.
Right. Well, no, and I appreciate the comment. Thanks for being kind. But we had to learn this. I've been doing this ever since, for 12 years now, over 12 years.
Wow.
I've had to learn, and I've always said the same thing. I was there the day that Clifford Carnicom and I were standing out there. We've been together a lot, but see, we just don't give up. We know how to stop these beastly beings. I can tell you, we know. I wrote the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act. Adopt that into your heart. It's the only thing written that would ever protect the breathable air column. That is not just humans. That the entire planet and its life form, in fact, is being adulterated by these minions that, in fact, I'll just describe as they. Yeah, they've got a a particular strain of or mutation, if you will, collection that, in fact, that they promote as being drought-resistant and resistant to aluminum, resistant to other heavy metals, and so on and so forth. Well, certainly, why not? Yeah, you know, because they know that's coming from the air. And, in fact, it killed the salts kill most other plants. Matter of fact, the British found out that it eradicates a little bacterium called Endomycorrhizia, a little wrap-around fungi that if you don't have it on your tendril roots, if you're a tree, in fact, it's going to, in fact, be lethal to you. And that's why all the pine trees and all the trees have died is not because of the boar, because the chemtrails killed and their salts and their heavy metals, in fact, killed off all the Endomycorrhizia. I wrote that in my paper in the Methodic Demise, by the way.
Dr. Mike Castle, we're running out of time, and I just want to thank you for being a guest on Another News. Dr. Mike Castle's website is anticorruptionsociety.com. Thank you very much for being on Another News.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on. Have a good evening.
Okay.
This was a past interview in memory of Dr. Michael Castle. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for an archive of past shows. Thank you.